Hey everyone. We wanted to start off this episode with a little disclaimer. As always, when we invite guests onto the show, it means that Dan and I have to sneak out of our carefully soundproof recording studio and come out into either the outside or in our kitchen or somewhere a little bigger to accommodate our guests. This week, we have our good friends Ben and Janine talking with us about Dinosaur Provincial Park. It was recorded Thanksgiving weekend 2021, and the weather was absolutely gorgeous. So we recorded it in our kitchen. All of the windows in our house were open. So you're going to hear, maybe from time to time, birds, construction, sounds of traffic. But as always with interviews, we just take the good with the bad so we can bring you the best of the best. And today is an episode you're not going to want to miss. We talk Dinosaur Provincial Park, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site located in the Badlands of Alberta, approximately 2.5 hours southeast of Drumheller. So strap in, because it's going to be a great ride. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 42 of the RV Connects podcast. As always, we're bringing you stories from the weird and wonderful world of part-time road tripping as we haul our family across North America from our home in southwestern Ontario, Canada. As you know, we make it a habit of traveling far on our road trips. And by design, you just can't see everything in one go, or you'll never have time to get immersed in the places that you do choose to visit. So this very thing happened on the RV Connects Grand Tour this summer, when we decided to spend time in the Drumheller part of the Alberta Badlands. And due to factors beyond our control, which would be the trailer problems we talk about in episode 40, and a lot of side trips I needed to make for work, well, we just couldn't make Dinosaur Provincial Park. So the questions today are, what's the difference between visiting the two areas? Is one better than the other? And why are we even talking about a place we didn't even get to visit on this trip?
Well, the answers lie in the two good-looking faces across from us right now. Our friends Ben and Janine, who took a very similar trip this summer in their motorhome named Marge, and they are here to tell us what we missed. So welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us. We're big fans and super excited to be here.
We've known Ben and Janine for at least 10 years. Ben's coached hockey for 6 or 7, and we've played with their girls for even longer than that. So it's really fun to have them here.
Yeah, again, big fans of the show. And to be here talking about a trip that we took very similar is going to be exciting. So let's do it.
So let's paint a picture for our listeners. What can you tell us about Marge, and how did your family size play into your decision to get a motorhome?
We do. We have 5 children. So fitting everybody in the truck and towing a trailer package, it was not an option. We don't have enough seat belts. So we had to look at a bigger option to complete our road trips and to view the world. And that's how we ended upon our motorhome. So she actually has 8 seat belts. We can tow 8 and sleep 8 comfortably, along with the other bonuses of kind of having your vehicle attached to your rig is, the ease of being a rookie and the RV sense and packaging trailers and loading everything out and getting set up at your campsite. It's super simple and straightforward.
It's just a push of a button.
That's right.
We like that. So tell us about what's the sleeping arrangements? Like, what's the setup in Marge?
Sure. So in the back, we have our own private bedroom. It's got a queen size bed in it, all the storage, etc. That's sort of separated by your shower and your bathroom. And then above the driver cabin is a queen size bunk as well. The couch folds out and then the table folds out into doubles. So
nice.
Whatever that was, 2, 4, 6, 8 is real easy. Yeah.
Okay. So when you guys travel, tell us a bit about how you travel. Do you tow something behind you? What happens when you need to get groceries or you need to dump when your tank's full? How do you handle that?
So that is obviously a concern, not having a vehicle in which you can kind of take off and go. Fortunately, it is actually pretty easy to pack up if we had to go. So we were in Lake Louise and we had to go over to the gondola to do that adventure. It was not walking distance. So, you roll in your awning, you take out your leveling pads and there you go.
I want to know, does Janine concur with that assessment? Because this is the first time we've got to look at 2 people as we do this.
Yeah,
I do. It was great. I was a little bit concerned about packing everything up, but we left the chairs and everything behind. It was like, we're coming back in 4 hours. It'll be fine. It was fairly straightforward.
I think it was you actually that convinced me.
I was like, we're going to this gondola and I'm not walking that far. So we're taking the RV.
So I'm more the, once I get on my leveling moons and everything's set, we're set, don't touch. But it's really, those pull-through sites were super easy.
We can do the road trip on the last day on our way out. It's like, no, we can't. No.
So we don't necessarily tow anything. We do have a trailer split, so I have a bike rack and then one of those trays, so I can store the barbecue tank and the barbecue on the tray and then still put four bikes on the back. And that's mostly how we get around. So the biggest actually regret going out west is I was thinking I wanted to pack light and I would leave the bikes at home and I would leave my tray at home. And then when we got to our site, we realized that the bathroom was farther away than we wanted it to be and that a bike would be super handy in the morning after that first coffee.
Oh, okay. Yep, gotcha. So do you have a no number two rule in March?
If you're over the age of 10, there's a no number two rule.
Okay. You're more than capable of walking.
Yeah.
That's right. TMI, I have gone number two on emergency, but it was not a comfortable position. So
yeah, it took us a lot of years, I think, to just regularly use the full facilities in our trailer, but now we do. It's still not comfortable, but whatever. If you need to, you need to, I guess.
We blame it on COVID.
Yeah.
So maybe take us through your trip, because you had a fairly similar trip to ours. Tell us about the highlights that you hit, and mostly, how did the whole family feel? Because this was like your first big RV road trip.
It's the first time longer than 5 days.
Yeah.
And let's do 15. It was like, let's go.
People need to know they only picked up the RV midway through last season.
That's right. We're only a year in.
Yeah. Yeah, we were able to do maybe 6 trips last year, but I don't think anything was over 3 hours away. So, you know, like you said, it was our first long haul. So for me, it was all preparation ahead of time, you know, oil changes and tire prep and just kind of making sure that was good to go.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out how to fit 2 weeks worth of food in a motorhome.
That's right. And clothes. Like, what are we going to do for, are we going to do laundry while we're out there? Are we going to just back everything into the back, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for us, that was, the prep was a big ordeal. And thankfully, I think that paid off in a long way, because, you know, we were able to take off actually the night before we intended to leave. We were going to leave on a Saturday morning, but we ended up leaving late on Friday afternoon and got to Sudbury, you know, basically departing from Sudbury.
That 4.5 hours made all the difference in the trip.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, departing really from did. There.
It was like, oh, we can breathe.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of pressure, because we were looking at 9-hour days as planned. And like you said, we'd never been on a trip that long. We didn't know how that was going to fly. We have taken a trip out east, or we had driven to Nova Scotia, of course, in the car. And that's,
I will never travel in a car again.
Yeah, and that's like a quarter of the distance. I mean, you're not even out of Ontario by the time you get to Nova Scotia. And that was... Yeah, Janine was threatening to fly home from that trip.
It was awful.
So you don't have the same philosophy about sitting in vehicles for a long time?
Nope. No. So, no, I'm not a passenger. Yeah. I'm not. It's like, you either need to ignore me or pull over, because I can't sit here calmly. It's impossible.
So did you drive Marge at all? Did you drive Marge?
No. I haven't. I'm not opposed to it. It just didn't come up. It was like, whatever, we're good.
Yeah.
I was in the back with the kids for the most part, trying to keep them entertained and somewhat sitting.
I don't know if I would describe myself as a control freak per
he
se.
He doesn't want me to drive.
It was not until Saskatchewan on the way home where I was willing to admit defeat and need for a little break. So we pulled over to a rest stop and we were walking around and doing our thing. And I said, you know, maybe you can drive for a little bit. It's flat. It's straight. You just put her on cruise at 107 and you float. And her response was like, cruise control? I'm not using cruise control.
I don't drive my car with cruise control. I hate it. I feel like, again, it's like I'm not in control of this vehicle. I don't like it. So it's like, I can drive 110 and not have the cruise on. We're good. He didn't like that answer.
Yeah, that maybe was the control freak portion of the, fine, we'll just extend this break another 15 minutes and I'll push on through.
Gotcha.
No, but the trip out there, it was amazing on many fronts. So the kids were sort of interested in seeing wildlife. I was interested in seeing wildlife and the geographic changes and the whole bit. And that's what I occupied my time with. But really, the country was on fire when we drove out.
Mm-hmm.
So crossing, you know, from Sudbury to Thunder Bay was a big push. Beautiful country. We saw black bear. Great. We weren't really seeing smoke yet. But then sort of the next day, coming out of Thunder Bay and then all the way, we stayed in Brandon, Manitoba the next night. And it was a blot the sun out kind of adventure the whole way.
Wow.
Super dark, super anticipating hazy. Seeing flames over the next corner sort of thing. Really weird is the best way to describe it. Drive through there. But, you know, Marge did pretty good. It was really hilly. There was some hills that, especially around that Thunder Bay area, where, you know, we were doing 65 kilometers in the slow lane.
By the time you got to the
top. As best she could get to the top. That's right. But in fairness, we're talking about like 13 degree plains, right? And then admittedly, I probably had too much water in the reservoir tank. And admittedly, when you fill up the tank, I notice anyways, like a full tank of gas, even down to 3/4 of a tank, there's a difference on how she pulls kind of thing. She wants to be 3/4 full to just under half full and not as much water in the reservoir tank to pee as I thought we would need. But to Brandon, and then we pushed on to Medicine Hat. And stayed in Medicine Hat the night before, just so we could kind of have a day, get whatever.
We needed a hotel night so we could shower.
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, and well, like groceries or whatever we were going to get the next morning prior to going into the park. So the trip out there was actually, you know, not nearly as frantic as going out east. And it was probably because Janine wasn't necessarily looking out the window at what we were driving at. She was in the back doing her thing, entertainment-wise. And I think that's pretty much it, right? The kids spend a lot of time sitting around doing their thing. Anyways, at home, we're just kind of in a home on wheels. So for them, it's just whatever, we're still just playing TikTok or whatever the crap we're doing. Yeah.
New environment out the window. What did you guys think? Was this the first time you guys had driven through the prairies?
Yes.
Did you find it boring or did you find it fascinating, like the landscape?
The first hour was fascinating and then it was boring. It was like, we are just going forever on the same thing. Kids got overlooking out the window real quick.
It felt like, you know, you would, oh yeah, we must have been driving for 45 minutes. We must be 30 kilometers down the road. And you'd look down, you're like, that was 1.6 kilometers. That was a mile.
It's like, and it was,
yeah. Well, no, you like the trains. And
yeah,
the,
we had the kids occupied with the trains. Like the longest trains I've ever seen in my life. For as far as you can see in front of you to as far as you can see behind you is one train. Indiana thought that was the greatest thing that's ever happened. Yeah.
Yeah, double.
Still excites me.
Yeah, double-decker train. But again, the country on fire. The prairies were like a misty haze in the distance. So like she was saying, one side was train from as far as you could see both ways. The other side was the end of the world, but the end of the world was only 300 feet away because it seemed like there was a smoke bin there.
And see, that's crazy. Like, I think you guys got home like a week before we left and we had nothing the whole way. Like, all of the smoke had cleared out. It's amazing how quickly these things can shift.
We were super lucky because it was like the day before we got to the park was still basically a haze where you couldn't see anything. Yeah, and the guy was saying,
yeah, Lake Louise, he said you couldn't see the mountain range from the lookout point 2 days or 3 days before we got there. It was like, what?
Oh, wow.
So we got lucky.
So, like, with the fire and kids and everything that comes with travel, are you the kind of people that are like, we have to get to Sudbury, then we have to be by Thunder Bay by this day, then Brandon, or you just kind of roll with the flow?
I feel like Ben does not roll with the flow.
No, Ben had booked the hotel.
Okay.
For the hotel nights.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to stay here and we have to be there by that time now. And I was like, on the way back was way less stressful. It was like, no, we have driven far enough today. We're just going to park somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a destination. I needed an end game. Where are we getting to? My philosophy was more or less every 2 hours, I would start looking for the first rest stop. And then if that was 2.5 hours, if that was 3 hours, or if it was 2 hours and 4 minutes, whatever, we would stop at the restaurant, even if we needed to or not. And just take 15 minutes, just have a snack, just walk around, get back on it sort of thing. And then that sort of coincided with where our gas stops needed to be, just on that timing.
Yeah.
You know, we were getting a half a tank for 4 hours, basically.
That makes me feel better because it felt like every 2 hours I dumped $5,000 into my gas tank.
Spent a lot of money on gas.
It was not a cheap adventure. When we got to Sudbury, thinking it was such a great idea leaving early, and then I went, Northern Ontario, awesome, $1.51. Oh, good, and I need to fill up. I probably should have.
Should have thought of that before we got here.
For our American listeners, $1.59 is $1.59 a liter, so just times that by four and you'll get your price per gallon.
Four and a half, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. It's not a cheap way to travel. Like, I think it's a different way to travel, but
it's different for us. It is, sometimes it does cost us less in that there are six of us or seven of us traveling. So seven plane tickets cost a lot of money.
For sure.
And then when you get there, you need a big vehicle to rent and you need, right? So it does end up saving us some, maybe, but not. It's not cheap.
But it brings you closer together as a family.
We are very much at a point where we're buying time with our children now.
Totally. We feel the same way. It's insane. We're on borrowed time, I think, for a lot of these road trips. So the more we can do it now, the better.
It's memories, right? That's, you know, you mentioned our relationship going back through hockey. That's my biggest wealth in life, is that memory pool that we have to draw from of all those times where Statzer over here was screaming and yelling at somebody and I had to step in front of him.
Dan has a reputation.
I beg to differ. Ben brings out the worst in me.
Maybe.
Sure. I may instigate and then turn around, but we digress. Yeah.
So I want to talk about Dinosaur Provincial Park. Did you guys stay in the park?
We yes. stayed in, okay. in the park itself proper.
3 nights.
At which we booked, it was a 6 month in advance, I believe, was the date on that one.
Yep.
So we weren't even, we had the trip planned, but didn't even know if we could stay there. And had some campgrounds as backups, but really that was our number one. And thankfully we were able to get on their site.
No, that's why we went out west.
Yeah. That's
the only reason we went west.
Was Dinosaur Provincial Park. Mm-hmm. So did this planning start before or after you got the gigantic Brontosaurus for your birthday?
Before.
Okay.
Before. The day we bought Marge, actually, I said, we're going to Dinosaur Park.
We told that to the guy we bought it from.
And he's right. like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, it's going to happen. So we've sent him a picture since of Marge at Dinosaur Park.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was really excited to get that email. It was fun.
I've got a minor dinosaur thing.
Dinophile, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Everybody says, you're going to Dinosaur Park for the kids? It's like, no. No, I'm going to find dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the kids don't actually have to be there for it.
Okay, so set us up, because we obviously only went to Drumheller. From what I understand about Dinosaur Provincial Park, it's a lot more open in terms of like going out and wandering and like just discovering. Like, tell us, take us through that. I mean, first of all, the provincial park, the campground looks really awesome. Mm-hmm.
So Janine and I have been to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been to the Grand Canyon, but that awe... when you walk out, sort of like, wow, there's probably something special that's been going on here for a few years.
Yeah.
It's very similar. So as you come to the entrance of the park, it's up on the hill. And part of the trip out for me, actually, the most interesting was the geographic changes you can't help but witness. As you're driving through Saskatchewan, it's quite obvious you're driving through the bottom of what used to be an ocean.
Yeah.
And you're driving out of the ocean to the shallower water of Alberta, and then you can almost see the waves as they would come in, and that's what you're driving through into Alberta. And the Badlands is very similar, where you get up to the top of this hill, and it's like, oh, there was a bunch of water you can see that has just rushed through here and created all this Grand Canyon-esque type geographic structures, and you can see the different layers to the point where we paused. We were really excited to get there, but we paused at the top of that hill and pulled over, and the girls all had to get out and check this out.
You have to get out for this.
Right?
It was pretty good. I only almost cried 3 times. It was close. Like, it was not because I was just so excited to actually be there.
Yeah. And so you drive sort of down into the park after we get our pictures and we check out, oh, okay, there's some trails up here. Maybe we'll come back here later. You drive down into the park, and what is the Badlands is at the time was like 105 degrees Fahrenheit, really hot.
It was a heat wave.
It was really hot. But there's nothing, there's just rock and stone and bone, except where the river goes through is like this lush sort of following, and that's where all the campsites are.
Oh,
in
nice.
In this little lush area. So again, as you're coming down, you're kind of looking into this cool greenage, and you see now the campsites all in this area.
Yeah, our site was shaded.
Nice.
And then backed right onto the Badlands. Like, it was right there.
Oh, so cool.
So the park is more or less like maybe 4 or 5 major trails pre-carved out through the Badlands. They don't want you necessarily free roaming through.
Okay.
There's plenty of signage actually that, you know, stay on the trails, and there's a couple areas where they're actually doing live excavations where, of course, they have quarantined off.
Most of it.
And that's really the draw to the park is the hiking, is the exploration. There's not really a swimming hole per se. We were lucky that the river was really, really low, and the girls went in the river and played around. But I was talking to one of the locals, and by really, really low, he was saying it was 10 to 12 feet lower than normal. Right? And he's like, no, normally you can't go in the water here because you'll be...
It's just too fast.
That's right. It got to 3 feet deep. So Indiana went in the water, but even then it was a strong current through there. And I understand they have signage saying, we recommend you not go in the water. Oh, that's why.
But, yeah.
So the site itself, we were, you know, you get there and you get checked in. For me, it wasn't necessarily like roughing it. They have a cafe, you know, the Crustaceous Cafe. They have, which is air conditioned, thankfully.
And there's a laundry room attached to it.
Oh, sweet.
Laundry room, pay-per-use showers, things like that, which even during COVID, thankfully, were open.
Good.
Yeah, even the restaurant, everything was open. Yep. And then they have a secondary building, which they label as a museum, but
it's a visitor center.
It's a visitor center. That's right. It does have like two displays and maybe some wildlife and geographic information, and then a theater room. Yeah, with Dan the Nature Man type stuff going on in the background.
Yeah. So were the sites just electric only? Did you have any services?
They were electric and there was water available, but you had to not on site.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, I think we were talking about that. Maybe it's us being green to the whole road trip and game in the provincial parks. And last year, most of our trips were to private parks through the, we were members of the RV Explorer Club. So it's you know, whatever is on their list. So maybe that's just common for provincial parks. We had power, but no water. Mm-hmm. And of course, the water, communal water, was across from us. But that campsite had more or less parked their vehicle and assembled their picnic table and their belongings in such a way that they were clearly laying claim on the water.
Oh, get out.
So when we got there, we get our site, actually, we were there early. So we were able to park in the middle and we had lunch at the cafe I was talking about. We went and checked out the museum and we had a bus tour scheduled for the next day. So when we got finally able to get into our site, we had to get water first because we don't have water hookup. And it was kind of weird having to back up at least 20 feet and then carry my hose through their picnic table to fill up the water from the communal water, but it was all good.
There was no like one filling station when you got to the park for everybody? Mm-hmm. You just had to use the taps that were
there was
like
random taps throughout the park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there was the dumping station, obviously, but the dumping station, in my recollection, had two lanes or two dumping holes and a water available for that for washing, but I don't remember.
Water.
I don't remember
okay.
it being potable. Yeah.
So that's very like American. A lot of state parks will do that, where you just have to like find a tap.
Yeah.
And do your best.
Pick one.
Yeah.
So the park is apparently open year round.
Is it really?
Which I can only imagine in the wintertime, it would just be a big white puffy thing. You would get lost real easy. But that's what I sort of concluded the water maybe being specifically placed around had to do with. So in winter, it was an easy sort of shut off and go.
Yeah.
To their credit, there very well may have been a potable water filling station that completely went over our heads.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Anything's possible.
Hey there, just popping in with a little clarification about the water at Dinosaur Provincial Park. As Ben mentioned, the park is indeed open year-round, which is absolutely fantastic. And it looks like water is available from early May until early October, which the actual dates will fluctuate from year to year given the freeze-thaw cycle or whenever the first snowfall or the first freeze is. It looks like there is two sources of fresh water at the dump station. However, by the reviews of people using the park, it looks like most people do tend to get their fresh water from the various taps located in the camping loops.
But the sites were all flat, all super easy to back into.
Not very private.
Not very private, no.
You were right next to the guy next to you, but it was fine.
But it was, so I think there is a very big fluctuation in the water levels throughout. Makes sense, right? Whenever there's spring runoff or whenever there's major rains, the hoodoos do their thing. And so we had to be kind of far away from so our campsite was deep. We were far away from the river, but there was no real defining lines between the sites, more or less. You just kind of pulled close to your post and good enough. Our neighbors were good, though.
They're friendly.
Yeah.
For the amount of time you spent on your site, really,
it
didn't matter.
So what was the bus tour?
So the bus tour was a guided tour through the park.
UNESCO sites.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, actually.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
There was a little portion of it where they actually had like the mini dinosaur bones out. So she said there's not a space in the site that you can walk without stepping on dinosaur bones. They're everywhere. So the kids all found their bones, little like pieces of tendon, old turtle shells, old, you know, pinky toes and like all the things. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was cool. They had, so the two people working the bus tour, one kind of focused on the cultural side, you know, the Blackfoot people and their use of the Badlands and how they would set up their camps around the perimeters. And it was like a, it was known to be a coming of age place where they would send the boys down, you know, walk for 3 days in that direction into this Badlands and become
site
a man.
Was alive.
And how the site, know, was
and
alive.
And how they view the earth as being alive and the faces in the rock. And you can see all these, like, they start bringing the things up. And if you notice here and if you look here, it was great that way. And then, yeah, the other woman was very much, this is this kind of dinosaur and this is this kind of dinosaur.
More dinosaur,
and I was like,
focused. Yeah.
You're my favorite human.
It was really neat though, because, you know, culturally and historically, to go back to the First Nations people that would have probably seen the big bones and then related those to buffalo. So mm-hmm. their sort of take on it and how they regarded it as the mystical place. And then we, like Janine said, you're basically stepping on crushed dinosaur bones in every square inch of the place.
That's crazy. Course,
which
they
is
were everywhere.
We found, you know, bones that looked like a hip bone. Ryland found turtle shells. We found, you know, it was everything we were hoping for mm-hmm. when you go. And then especially the bus tour, they take you to the specific good spot.
They
right?
know where it is, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's...
Right, so, and I guess they've been shipping what they're finding here to the museum in Drumheller. They do have portions in the park where they've actually just left the excavation and built a building around where they found the bones,
so
in the rock.
Dinosaurs as they were, where they were found.
That's yeah. cool. I Which, love that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So awesome.
So for us, because it was so hot, that was, you know, we were all set up. There was a playground for the kids to play at, which they're stoked about. Good. But more or less, it's just, let's go exploring, right? So it was morning time. Like, okay, we're going to get up and do our hike. And by we'll be done by 11. And then you guys can do whatever the heck you want to do for the rest of the day. And that worked out real cool. Yeah.
Find a sprinkler, yeah. It was really hot.
Yeah.
But
so is the bus tour like a half a day or a couple hours? Or
the one we did was a half day.
There was a few different tours you could do, but, you know, just like Disney, you got to book them 6 years in advance.
Well, there's that. But the other thing was a lot of them were designed for older children. You've got to be 14. You've got to be 16. It's adults only. It's to do the actual excavation sites
right.
or tours are $200 a person, and you've got to be 14. And okay, well, we have a five-year-old.
And it's 8 hours in the sun because you're literally doing an excavation with them. You're, you know, cheap labor.
Yeah.
you're paying them to be the labor for them, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So we did the bus tour.
It was a family-friendly one.
And it was the family-friendly one. That's right. Yeah. So we were able to hike around and kind of do our own thing from the bus tour. And it was, it was a half day, maybe 2 o'clock, and it got back at five, something like mm-hmm. that.
So could someone with like limited mobility do that bus tour, or do you have to be able to like hike a bit of it?
I don't think it's not wheelchair accessible for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if the bus maybe was. I don't remember. It would be very difficult because there is, they bring you basically to the foot of here and then we're going to walk around this hudo or we're going to walk around whatever and check out back here and
Right.
Yeah, it'd be difficult. So the bus tour was really the only pre-planned event we had, though, for the park, or done in advance, mostly because, like I said, it was either, do we want to be out there for 8 hours? It's probably fun for the first 45 minutes, but...
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
I would have had to listen to the kids complain all day.
I contemplated sending Janine for 8 hours
I was going to say, you didn't pay the $200 for her to go dig for the day?
It was on the table, but...
Yeah, it was okay.
So do you think 3 days was enough, or would you like to have spent more time there?
No, I think 3 days was good, because, I mean, we went from there to the Royal Tyrrell Museum to finish the day out. It was kind of like the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the history, you get all the fun of it, and then you see what's actually been found.
Yeah.
In complete pieces.
Yeah.
We went pretty hard in the paint, too, dinosaur-wise, as far as, like, the first night we watched Jurassic Park, and the second night, Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah.
Right? And it was all about on our treks, the purpose of going on the track is to see nature, to see...
No, the kids found dinosaur bones on trails that they weren't supposed to be on.
Mm.
And we have picked, like, it just got them out. That was the biggest thing for me, is, like, they're excited about it, they want to see it, and I don't have a problem getting the 10-year-old to walk for 7 kilometers because something cool is going to happen.
But by the end of the three nights, you know, the fourth day obviously isn't much of a day by the time you pack up and, and dump and get ready to move on. And again, as she said, we were going to Drumheller, so we were out early that morning trying to get to the museum for about 11, so we didn't feel rushed going there because we were actually spending that night in Calgary.
Okay.
So it was another, we don't want to rush through the museum, but you know, yeah. I don't necessarily want to be there for 12 hours either.
Right.
But the park, I mean, where the river goes through, I mentioned that lush area. There is one trail that's more like an evening trail where you're going to see more.
Yeah, through the cottonwood trees.
Through the cottonwood trees where there's a history of the forest fires and you can see where they're burnt in the trees. And these trees are like 150 years old. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we saw, you know, snakes and deers and whatever else on our tracks. And
yes, there's like four main hiking trails. And once you've done them, you've kind of done them.
Okay.
That's right. So at the end of the third day, I guess, is like, okay, well, yeah, I've definitely got my steps in and I found some bones and it was what's time. Next?
Yeah, right? 3 days was good. Could I have done four? Yeah, probably.
Probably, sure.
To spend a week there, we probably would have been looking for things to do.
And right. Honestly, it was like 48 degrees Celsius or something, so like the hottest place on the planet, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
People in Libya were like, ooh, sorry what you like, bud. Yeah.
It sounds to me then like, you know, 3 days in Dinosaur Provincial Park, and if you really wanted to make a full-on dino vacation, you could do 2 to 3 days in Drumheller, yeah. An area, and you would have like the perfect week's vacation.
Yes, absolutely.
Driving into Drumheller is like, you know, the Disney of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And you can actually see the failings of the glory days, right?
Yeah.
There used to be a hotel here that had a giant dinosaur in the front, and you could tell he was busy as all hell in the 80s, but
yeah,
things have dwindled since Expedia has come around.
For sure.
Right? But once you get to the museum, it's like, you know, she was wide-eyed like a kid at Disney, for real.
I actually want to talk to you about that, because you know how, like, did you do the trails behind the museum? No. Okay, well, they have signs basically saying what to do if you find fossils or bones or something. You take a photo.
So they do have those at Dinosaur Park as
okay.
Well.
I was going to ask, what's the protocol if you find a bone?
Yeah, you're not allowed to take them with you.
Yeah.
No, so we did actually do this. Rylan, we were exploring on the backside of Ahudo on our last day. Ahudo, to explain, is a geographic formation where there's like a limestone and then a different formation of stone, but then a real heavy stone on top that's got an iron base, and it kind of looks like a mushroom head, maybe is the best way to explain it. And slowly it erodes away and that falls. And so anyways, we were on the backside of this and she found a bone sticking out of the backside of this rock that, you know, maybe not many people actually explore back to. So we took a picture, and the protocol is they have an email address. I can't think of off the top of my head, but you take a picture, you hopefully can stamp your geographic location with mm-hmm. a longitude latitude coordination, and you email it to them, and they'll send you an email back saying thank you for submitting, we're going to investigate your claim and get back to you, sort of thing. So
you emailed that in?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
So we did that. Yeah,
yeah.
I haven't heard anything more than the thank you for your...
I was gonna say it may have been petrified wood.
Right.
How she was convinced it is a thought, like a
yeah.
egg bone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let her have it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's
such a
cool
memory.
Let's call
it the Rylanosaurus. Yeah. Let's talk the story up here.
You know what? We're going to give it to her. on the way out, we also would give them any sighting they'd seen. Our daughter, Narissa, lovingly saw three mooses cuddling together on the side of the road.
Oh. There was three moose. It's like,
yeah. Well, okay, dear. Okay. Yep. Yeah, we'll give you that. Sure. Yeah. No, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Narissa, if you're listening to us.
And for those who follow us on Instagram, there is a photo, if you go back to August, there's a photo of that sign that the museum puts out on like what the email address is and what the protocol is. And it reminds me a lot of, you guys need to do Moab. You guys need to take Marge to Moab, because that is like the Wild West of like dinosaur. Like, you just go out into the backcountry and there's dinosaur track sites where tracks have been preserved in places that used to be old lakes. And their protocol, which we learned at the Moab Museum, is like, if you're like canoeing down the river and you see something in a rock, you do the same thing. You report it to the museum. And if it is a significant find, they will name it after you. Is because there's so much stuff out there that they just rely on the public to help them find it as well. It's so cool.
Yeah, I think they've had an ongoing excavation at Dinosaur Park, they were saying, since the 70s. Like, there's always been at least one, usually 3 to 4, continuously almost fully preserved findings that they're still coming out with, you know, 40, 50 years later.
Yeah. That's amazing. How long has this been on your bucket list, Janine?
I don't know, since forever. I don't know. I can't remember the first time I heard that there was such a place as Dinosaur Park, but I was going there from the first time I knew there was a place.
Yeah.
Yeah, through the museum, I mean, you were wide-eyed and happy to be, and it was busy, especially for what we thought was COVID restrictions.
There was no restrictions.
There was zero restrictions.
There were zero restrictions.
Yeah. To speak of that, actually, I say this often. On our trip out, somewhere around Brandon, Manitoba, there was an imaginary line where COVID just stopped existing altogether. Yeah. And we were, you know, we're fully taken care of and we're vaccinated and the kids are vaccinated and we didn't really maybe take concern per se.
Oh,
everybody had masks on, everybody had whatever, but we were happy to be in Drumheller, happy mm-hmm. to be in a busy spot and happy to partake, but I don't...
This just was the busiest place I think I've been to in 2 years.
I don't know when you actually started that. We definitely, part of buying Marge was specifically as the inspiration of this, finding these spots and going, okay, we want to visit these spots, but it's, you know, a fortune to fly everybody to Calgary and then mm-hmm. figure out how to do that. So well, how do we do this? And that's sort of what led down. Yeah. Okay. Let's get an RV. Let's find a trailer. Let's find something we can use to connect with nature and to also explore the world and to also force memories into our children that they may or may not appreciate, but they're gonna
they will
get them.
Someday they'll appreciate them. Right now, sometimes it's forced.
Yeah.
You know, if we had to choose one or the other to stay in Drumheller, I'm sure there's popular campgrounds in the area that would have provided just as much entertainment. Maybe not the exploration of finding the dinosaur bones and maybe not the, you know, the full-on hands experience as the Dinosaur Provincial Park had. So I don't,
We literally did no research on Drumheller itself. Mm-hmm. Besides that, that's where the museum
that's
is.
Where
that's
the museum
where we're going.
Is. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I would say it's great. Like, there's a lot more wandering wherever you want, which mm-hmm. is why, you know, I get why at Dinosaur Provincial Park they have the sign saying, like, stay on the trails. Whereas Drumheller's, like, it's like, you have a free-for-all. Go out and see what you can find.
And that's what we noticed driving to the museum, actually, is the surrounding geography, you know, would lend to the same sort of exploration. I don't know what the frequency of finding the bones would be, if that's similar, but it's got
to
be similar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were just happy to go to the spot. You know what I mean? It's kind of like going to Disneyland and staying at Disneyland, not staying at the Hojo next door.
Speaking of California, you also need to go to the La Brea Tar Pits. Have you been there?
I have not. Okay. Well, no, that is in the plans. California is probably going to be Marge's trip of 2022.
Okay, so that's our next question, is what's next for Marge? Is it going to be?
That's right. Our hope.
Yeah.
So Marge, we went 7,556 kilometers round trip.
Yeah.
And we didn't have, you know, knock on wood, the biggest issue we had was this knucklehead forgetting to put the coolant reservoir cap back on one morning and then getting, you know, all the way to Brandon before you realize that, oh, I just drove 9 hours without the reservoir cap on there.
But we were a little low.
There's still some in the reservoir, thankfully, and we're across the street from a Canadian Tire, so I had a minor meltdown crisis.
I've been to that Brandon Canadian Tire.
Yeah, for the same reservoir cap. It's stupid.
For a battery.
Yeah. Aisle 11, my ass. Anyways. So what's next for March? March was originally, no, not originally, but we've always wanted to do Disney, and mm-hmm. we were going to do Florida before the pandemic hit. And the pandemic actually changed our, okay, we're going to accelerate the Out West trip
mm-hmm.
And do that instead, because we felt traveling domestically was going to, of course, going to be easier. And it was. But now we want to get back on the Disneyland. Is that right? Disney World
Disney,
is Florida?
Yeah. So Disneyland is going to mm-hmm. be next year.
So I think that'll be our next big trip, is similar 14-day or a 15-day sort of out to California and L.A. and surrounding area type thing, and maybe circle up the coast and around back.
We have some great podcasts you can listen to about that.
Yes.
Please take Route 66 because yes. it's going to be amazing.
Well, part of that inspiration actually is those podcasts and the journeys you've had. Probably won't run into the same issues, but good on you for making it.
I think that's super exciting. And I think you're right. Like, the kids were after this trip, they were like, okay, we just need to go into our rooms for like 3 days and not talk to anybody. Because they're like, okay, don't get us wrong. We like being with you, but like it's too close, right? Yeah. And so we're kind of hitting that end of where they want to be around us, but they're still willing to go, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. Like, I mean, the memories you're building, they will never go away. Like with Dan and I both growing up RVing with our families, it's like sometimes you hate it, but those end up being the sweetest memories.
I grew up basically, you know, in trailering too, and the experiences with nature and you can't really replace that kind of stuff. And like you say, the memories, the kids can have iPads and iPods and phones and all the electronic nonsense we can give them that are all going to be thrown in the garbage in a couple of years. But these memories, hopefully, the intention is something they can pass on to our grandchildren and beyond, right? Mm-hmm.
But once you get them out there, I think we all know they stop complaining about being out with mom and dad, don't they, right?
They do love it. So we have, you know, the 15 and 17-year-olds who are not so eager. They want to come. They definitely don't want to be left behind.
Yeah.
But when it's over, and they're good with that.
Yeah.
And then there's a little one still, like a 10 and 5, who just can't, where are we going next? Can we just stay in the RV? Can we go camping again? When are we going camping again? Mom, can we go in the RV? Mommy, can we sleep in the RV even at the shop? Like, it's, they just want to be in the RV.
Mm-hmm. Which speaks volumes in the comparison of the trip out east in the car, where, you know, everybody was threatening to fly home versus
we weren't
four
7 hours
times
in.
The difference. And it was
7 hours
happy.
Into a road trip, and I was ready to turn
around. Out east, it was Montreal. She was done. But this trip out west and back, like I said, 7,500 and whatever kilometers, was a breeze almost.
It was easy.
It was, nobody was really complaining. Are we there yet? We're pretty minimal because we were stopping every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It was more like, can we get going again rather than are we there yet?
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. And yeah, California, Route 66, that sounds like the next track.
That's super exciting. I love it.
I'll ask the hard-hitting questions. Oh. Why the name Marge? Where's the name Marge come from?
For me, Marge conjures ideas of a dependable,
sturdy,
take care of everything. Honestly, that's what it is for me. Is she's not going to break down, hopefully.
She's got all the things that reliable needs to be.
Yeah, she's super reliable. And maybe Marge is the most reliable name I could think of. In short, yeah, there you go.
Maybe that's our problem. Is the only name we could come up with for our trailer was Tracy. And I don't know, Tracy's starting to let us down after 7 years. So
Tracy's dangerous. Never met a Tracy that's not dangerous. I don't know.
Maybe we need a new name. We need to rename. That's our problem.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you again, guys, for having us here. This has been a lot of fun.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. I love listening to Janine talk. I just have like goosebumps. I'm just like picking up on your excitement, and I'm so sad that we missed that part of the trip.
I'm excited. I'm like, I almost want to skip the first couple games of the hockey season and go back out on the road for a little bit.
We're experiencing some nice weather here. We're thinking, even though it's Thanksgiving, can we get one more weekend in?
Sure, yeah, you can.
Maybe.
Yeah.
we'll see.
Like, do we have to come back for the very first hockey game?
Probably.
Thank you, Ben and Janine, for joining us. We are super happy to hear your experiences. We always aim to bring, you know, the full story of RV life to our listeners. And it's really important for us to bring people who can speak on different experiences than us, especially different methods of travel. So thank you again. We are so appreciative of you being here. So with this episode, we end our journey into the Alberta Badlands. Next episode, tune in on October 27th. That is our second annual Spooktacular event where we profile 5 more haunted places we've camped. And beginning in November, we'll begin taking you on a journey to the Canadian Rockies as we detail RV life in Banff and Jasper. So until next time, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.